Well, hello and welcome to this month's podcast, where, as ever, we're going to bring you up to date with the latest information and data in the world of rheumatoid arthritis, and a fascinating world it is too. Now, today's podcast, I'm going to be reviewing two papers related to the long-term safety of JAK inhibitors in comparison to TNF inhibitors in rheumatoid arthritis. First paper, Christina Charles-Schulman and colleagues assessed the risk of VTE, venous thromboembolism, in patients with RA that initiated tofacitinib or TNF inhibitors. And for the second paper, Roy Fleischman and colleagues compared the long-term efficacy and safety data of upadacitinib switched from adalimumab and vice versa. And as ever, if you want to access detailed summary slides for the papers discussed today, please visit imidforum.com. So that's imidforum, all one word, .com. Thanks very much. So let's have a go at the first paper. The risk of venous thromboembolism with tofacitinib versus tumor necrosis factor inhibitors in cardiovascular risk-enriched RA patients. Well, background here, of course, compared with the general population, patients with rheumatoid have a greater risk of VTE events, including deep venous thrombosis and pulmonary embolism. The oral surveillance study found a dose-dependent increase in VTE and PE events with tofacitinib versus TNF inhibitors. And this is a study based on that aimed to assess VTE incidence over time and explore risk factors of VTE, including disease activity, in oral surveillance. So it's another analysis of a study that you already know a lot about. But as a quick reminder, oral surveillance was a randomized, open-label, non-inferiority phase 3b/4 safety endpoint study performed March 2014 through July 2020. Study included 4,362 patients with active RA despite methotrexate treatment who were aged more than or equal to 50 years and had more than or equal to one additional cardiovascular risk factor. Patients were randomized 1:1:1 to tofacitinib 5 milligrams BID, tofacitinib 10 milligrams BID, and TNF inhibitor, which could be etanercept or adalimumab. And there were approximately 1,450 or so patients in each of these groups. In 2019, the tofacitinib 10 mg BID dose group was reduced to 5 milligrams after the Data Safety Monitoring Board noted the following: an increased frequency of PE in patients receiving tofacitinib 10 versus TNF inhibitor, and an increase in overall mortality for tofacitinib 10 milligrams versus 5 milligrams BID dose and TNF inhibitors. So DMB said we better do something about that. So the 10 mg group was all re-randomized to 5. Post-hoc analysis of the study included cumulative probabilities and incidence rates for adjudicated VTE, DVT, and PE by 6-month intervals. CDI leading up to a VTE event was explored in patients with VTE. So a lot going on in this particular analysis of an already oft-analyzed study. So what were the key results? Well, 66 patients experienced VTE events in the study period, 18 in tofacitinib 5 mg BID, 36 in tofacitinib 10 mg BID, and 12 in the TNF inhibitor arm. Patients with VTE events had a slightly higher mean age, mean BMI, were more likely to have a history of VTE, hypertension, or coronary heart disease, and were more likely to have received corticosteroids at baseline. So that's across the groups. Other baseline characteristics were generally similar between patients with and without VTE events. Few patients received oral contraceptives or HRT or anticoagulant treatment, with no consistent trends between patients with VTE events versus those who did not experience a VTE. Now, the estimated cumulative probability for VTE events through 72 months was 4.5 for tofacitinib 10 mg, which was significantly higher than in the TNF inhibitor arm. Similar results were seen for PE, where cumulative probability was significantly higher for tofacitinib 10 milligrams than TNF inhibitors. And across 6-month time intervals to more than 54 months, IRs for VTE, DVT, and PEs were generally higher with both tofacitinib doses versus TNF inhibitor, and higher for tofa 10 milligrams versus tofa 5 milligrams. Multivariate Cox analyses identified a history of VTE in BMI greater than or equal to 35 kilograms per meter squared, older age, and a history of chronic lung disease as baseline risk factors for VTE, again, in all treatment groups. Few VTE events occurred in patients who were in CDAI remission. 1 out of 17 for TOFA 5 milligrams, 6 out of 33 for tofacitinib 10 milligrams, and 0 out of 10 for the TNF inhibitor arms, respectively. Well, a lot going on here. What do we conclude? Well, the incidence of VTE and PE were higher for tofacitinib versus TNF inhibitor and were generally consistent over time. These adverse events were more frequent in tofacitinib 10 than 5 milligrams BID. And across treatments, VTE risk populations were aligned with previous studies in the general population. So the risk factors breed true, as it were. These data, I think, do highlight the importance of assessing VTE risk factors, including age, BMI and VTE history when considering initiation of tofacitinib or indeed a TNF inhibitor for that matter in patients with active RA. Okay, well, let's move to our second paper, long-term efficacy and safety following switch between upadacitinib and adalimumab in patients with rheumatoid arthritis, 5-year data from Select Compare. Well, again, the background here, current treatment guidelines support a treat-to-target strategy in RA with therapy adjustments if no improvements are seen within 3 months or if treatment targets are not met by 6 months. You're very familiar with that. And ACR and EULAR have different recommendations for therapy adjustment. ACR, for example, recommends switching to a drug with a different mechanism of action as opposed to switching to one within the same MOA. EULAR recommends both switching to a different drug of the same class or to a drug with different MOA. It hands the choice back to the clinician, and always the clinician-patient discussion is ongoing. Phase 3 Select Compare study investigated upadacitinib 15 milligrams versus adalimumab 40 milligrams every other week in patients with RA that had an inadequate response to methotrexate, so methotrexate IR population. Patients who did not achieve a specified clinical response during the first 26 weeks of the study were switched in a blinded manner from upadacitinib to adalimumab or vice versa. Numerous patients showed substantial benefit in clinical and functional outcomes at 6 and 12 months after switching to the alternate therapy, while no new safety signals were identified. And this study aimed to describe the long-term efficacy and safety of upadacitinib and adalimumab through 228 weeks following immediate switch to an alternative therapy with a different MOA. Now, in Select Compare, 159 patients switched to upadacitinib from ADA, while 252 patients switched to adalimumab from upadacitinib. Patients who completed 48 weeks of treatment could enter an open-label long-term extension for up to 10 years, where they were treated with upadacitinib 15 milligrams once a day or adalimumab 40 milligrams every other week. Efficacy was evaluated through 228 weeks post-switch using validated outcome measures, and these included CDAI-DAS28, CRP, improvement in ACR response criteria, and change from baseline in ACR core components. And as ever, safety was assessed by treatment-emergent adverse events through week 264. Okay, well, what did we find? Well, among non-responders, 77% of patients who switched to upadacitinib achieved CDAI LDA at week 228, compared with 73% of those who switched to adalimumab. 58% of patients switched to upadacitinib achieved DAS28 CRP, less than or equal to 2.6, versus 50% of those who switched to adalimumab at week 228 post-switch. Also at week 228 post-switch, ACR 20 was achieved by 90% of patients who switched to upadacitinib, compared with 80% of those who switched to adalimumab. And overall, exposure-adjusted TEAE rate at week 264 was lower among patients who switched to upadacitinib, compared with those who switched to adalimumab. Herpes zoster infection, lymphopenia, and CPK elevation were more frequent when switching to upadacitinib than when switching to adalimumab. Probably no great surprise there. Okay, well, key conclusions here. Again, a lot of information. Disease activity measures and functional measure of outcome were improved in patients initially randomized to upadacitinib or adalimumab that were switched to the alternative therapy following an inadequate response to the initial MOA. These improvements were observed through 228 weeks post-switch. Improvements in efficacy and PROs were mostly in favour of patients who switched to upadacitinib from adalimumab versus adalimumab to upadacitinib. I guess that's the author's conclusion. I think we probably need to be very conservative in that. That's not really what this trial was designed to look at 228 weeks. Switching to a different MOA may provide longer term benefits to patients with RA who are not achieving treatment goals with their initial therapy with an acceptable profile. I think that's a safe conclusion. Whether that's a better option than just carrying on within class, I think remains open. We'll need more studies to evaluate that. Well, look, to view the publications uploaded this month and to access our other podcasts and resources, please head across to the new imidforum.com. And always don't forget to subscribe to the new IMID Disease Forum, the Immune Mediated Inflammatory Disease Forum podcast channel, to make sure you don't miss any of our future podcasts. Well, as always, make sure you let us know what you think by leaving a review. And thanks, as always, for your attention. I wish you well in your clinical practice and clinical lives. I look forward to talking to you next time around. Bye for now.